So we're pretty sure that Marley, our youngest son, who's 16 and 17 months old now, is that his language is about to explode. His vocabulary is about to just come out. Right now we're at this sort of stage where it's fun to listen to him babble because he's old enough to mean something. And you can tell he means something. He really is thinking about something. He's just desperately trying to get it across. These conversations are made all the more challenging because of his struggles with consonants, and all of his words sound a bit the same. So if I were to tell you his first word, ga, like, would that mean anything to you? It wouldn't, unless, of course, you happen to see him in the same room as our cat, and he's running towards it screaming, ga, 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 pointing at it. Or perhaps he's grabbed a part of her and has put her in his mouth, yelling, ga, ga. Then you know, okay, that's cat. That's what he's saying. But it's really hard to understand because baby words are like that. Or buh means ball or book, depending on what he's pointing at. And muh means more. Or we just found out the other day he also means milk for muh. There's a slight difference in how it sounds. We're like, I think you're saying more, but it's not quite right. Then we found out he was talking about milk. So this is early baby vocabulary, simple combinations of a limited number of consonants and vowels. And this is why I think across language we have ma or mama, meaning mother. Because that specific mix of consonants and vowels is really, really easy. And it's going to be a really early word for people. So across languages, you'll get ma, ma, or mama as a word for mother. And the same goes for fathers, though it's I think there's a little more breadth of what that first consonant is. It could be dada or papa, or in Chinese, or in Mandarin, it's baba. Though with Marley, both Jackie and I are mama right now, but that's just how it works. So these are ways that babies can express and name some of the earliest relationships in a child's lives. So when Jesus begins teaching his prayer to his disciples, when he begins with Our Father, you need to understand that it's an English translation of a Greek translation of an Aramaic word. And he's probably beginning the prayer with a word that he uses at other points, a word that has even been left in its original Aramaic form in other Greek books of the Bible, and that's Abba. I think the Gospel of Mark, where they don't even bother translating it at one point. In Mark 14:36, he says, Abba, Father. So the writer's really trying to emphasize that relationship, Abba. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. So it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can hear how the word Abba can easily be ascribed to or derived from baby speak. Simple vowels, simple consonants. Sounds a bit like just blah, 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 right? Baby blabbering. And those eventually get associated with something important. So when we use that word Abba, we begin to realize that maybe it's not as formal as father, how it's often translated. Not as formal sounding as our prayer has become. So perhaps to begin the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, it would be better to start with our dad or our papa. It would probably be a more accurate translation. Now, there's a few things I want to state before we continue. So we're beginning our Lord's Prayer sermon series here. And there are two main resources that I've focused. I've used a few others, and I'll let you know. But there's two that I've really focused it on. And I'll invite you to check either of them out. The first is Leonardo Boff's The Lord's Prayer. Leonardo Boff is a Brazilian theologian, liberation theologian. Quite wonderful. He has a wonderful book on the Lord's Prayer. So I'll reference that a fair bit. And Rob Bell I don't know if anyone knows Rob Bell. There's a few Rob Bells, actually, and I get them all confused. This Rob Bell, he has a podcast, the Robcast, and he's written a bunch of books. He did one series in the Robcast called Jesus H. Christ. I've mentioned it before. It's an 11-part series where he tries to figure out what the H stands for in Jesus H. Christ. And the second episode is called 66 Words, and it's him going through the 66 words of the Lord's Prayer. It's a wonderful, wonderful little series, so I would invite anyone who's interested to check those out. So disciples asking about how to pray is a very common thing. This is another thing I want to let you know before we dive in. This was very common in ancient Israel. If you met a new rabbi, someone who is teaching something new, what disciples would do is they'd go to this rabbi and they'd say, well, teach us how to pray. And then that rabbi would use that opportunity, would use prayer as a way to sort of summarize everything that they were talking about, to give an idea of this is what I stand for, this is what I truly believe. So in the Lord's Prayer, we're getting Jesus' views on theology, on his and our relationship with God in a simple and very ritualized form. And so this was very common at the time. And then last, I'm going to name gender here. This is the last note I want to make, and this is important. So when we're talking about God, which really we can't describe, we kind of have to use metaphor. And metaphor, we need to understand, is always inherently wrong. That's the definition of a metaphor, is that it is wrong. Okay? And so what we need to do is we need to look at the metaphor and try to discern what is the user of this metaphor trying to say. So when we get a word like Abba, well, what does Jesus mean with Abba? What does that metaphor mean? What is Jesus trying to emphasize? What is true about that word and what is not true? Now, often what gets ascribed to that is gender. Well, what Jesus means is that God is a male. No, that's not what Jesus means at all. Abba is touching on to something else that is very different than that. So it could just as easily, it could just as easily be mama in many senses, but there was a little other political stuff going on at the time which makes that a little more difficult, but we'll get into that, okay? So when the Hebrew Bible was written and subsequently edited together, the writers and editors were trying to show God in stark contrast with the anthropomorphic gods of the times. God was creator, God was all-powerful, God was all-knowing, and not to be confused with any of the local personal gods of other nearby cultures. Scripture wanted to emphasize that humanity was a part of creation, made of the same dust as all of creation, not made out of God. And so humanity, being this way, they shied away from the use of father imagery in the Old Testament. Anyone want to take a guess at how many times God is imagined as father in the Old Testament? So 15 times in the Old Testament are there even passing references to God as a father or as a parent in the Old Testament. Now, do you know how often Jesus calls God not just Father, but as Boff describes, using the language of childhood and home, calls God Abba? How many times do you think that appears in the Gospels? A lot. Yeah, 170 times. So there's a big difference there. 170 times across the four Gospels, Jesus refers to God as Abba. And so the revolution, the change that Jesus was bringing about, it begins in these first words. And God isn't just referred to as Jesus Abba, but as all our Abba. We're all invited to use the words of a beloved child speaking to the one who holds them safe and close. And again, to paraphrase Boff, this isn't Jesus distracting from God. He takes God very seriously. He still uses other images of God as, you know, perhaps ruler or God as judge. But the intimacy of calling God Abba reflects the intimacy of the name that Jewish people had for God, Yahweh, which means I am here. That closeness. Jesus is emphasizing that closeness in a very personal way. So while reacting to the Old Testament's distancing of God, Jesus still finds a way to embrace that tension, the Jewish community's intimacy with God, using these first sounds of infancy to proclaim the name of our Creator. To fulfill the promise of Isaiah 52:6, therefore my people will know my name. In this way, for Jesus and for Christians, the proper name for God is Abba, dearest father, papa, loving mother, mama, or home. These aren't descriptions, but these are names, all embodied in that one word, Abba, which in the patriarchy of the day, you know, meant dad. So when we use the metaphor of Abba to name God, again, we're not landing on the gender itself, but rather the intimacy out of our very infancy with the one who cares for us and provides for us. It was in this intimacy, this sense of home, that the community of believers, the first readers and listeners of Matthew and Luke, were bound together, and it's in this very sense of home that we as Christians continue to be bound together. We are the ones who know God's name as Abba, and that all of creation shares in that same intimacy, in that same sense and understanding of home. And it's in this pastoral understanding of our relationship with God, our union with all of creation, through that relationship, that the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, the Our Abba, it becomes not just pastoral and comforting, but prophetic as well. Jesus, in calling God Abba and calling God Father, is also actually saying something quite political. In the ancient understanding of the world, the father, though in our world it's more the parent, mother as well, it was more than just a biological relationship, more than just a loving relationship. It was the parent, the father, now the mother, who ran the household. And so if God is the father, then this is God's household. And there are big questions remaining about how God's household is being run and about how God's household should be run. But we're going to get more into that next week. So thanks be to God, to Abba, to Mama, the one whose name we are trying to speak from birth and whose presence is the great sign of home. Amen.